Reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, if you remove from your midst oppression, false accusation, and malicious speech, if you bestow your bread on the hungry and satisfy the afflicted, then light shall rise for you in the darkness, and the gloom shall become for you like midday. Then the Lord will guide you always and give you plenty, even on the parched land. He will renew your strength, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring whose water never fails. The ancient ruins shall be rebuilt for your sake, and the foundations from ages past you shall raise up. Repair of the breach, they shall call you. Restore of ruined homesteads. If you hold back your foot on the Sabbath from following your own pursuits on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, if you honor it by not following your ways, seeking your own interest, or speaking with malice, then you shall delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will nourish you with the heritage of Jacob, your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Verum Domini. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Incline your ear, O Lord, answer me, for I am afflicted and poor. Keep my life, for I am devoted to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God.
Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth.
Have mercy on me, O Lord, for to you I call all the day. Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth.
For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in kindness to all who call upon you. Hearken, O Lord, to my prayer, and attend to the sound of my pleading.
Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the customs post. He said to him, "Follow me." And leaving behind everything behind, he got up and followed him. Then Levi gave a great banquet for him in his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were at table with him. The Pharisees and their scribes complained to the disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus said to them in reply, "Those who are healthy do not need a physician, but the sick do. I have come not to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners." Verbum Domini. Our Lord was not averse to difficult or sticky situations, even to dining with shady characters. Those types, which included some of the Pharisees, with tax collectors, who were, you know, in every age are the worst, right? No one quite likes tax collectors. But in those days, they made their living not just by their wages, but by shaving off the top, by extortion. And the practice was even legal, that it was encouraged by the Romans as a sort of compensation for having to do a terrible job or doing it even though, you're placing yourself outside of society in a way. So when it comes to Matthew, who's Levi, as he's more commonly known, he probably would have quickly enjoyed having this prophet Jesus of Nazareth around Capernaum. Business was getting a big boost from the crowds who are coming to see the one whom many were beginning to call the Christ. So at first, it seems that Matthew didn't pay much attention in this to any religion except the idol of money. So what it took, as it takes for all of us, is a personal encounter with the Lord, an invitation to follow him with all the skill and vigor that Matthew had put into his foul trade. So all that had preceded, the skill, the frail virtue, the failures, these would all be purified, and he would receive the character of Christ, taking on his master's life and example in order now to give what is due to God alone. So when we're called to conversion, all those frail virtues and different things we had known before, that those are to be placed at the service of Christ. Some, of course, to be left forever, but others to be given for the glory of God, or to be done, whatever we do, whether we eat or drink, whether we are awake or asleep, to do all for the glory of God. So it's interesting, in a certain sense, that it's not Matthew who is given to is entrusted with the purse once Jesus forms the 12, but Judas. Maybe it is that Matthew knew all too well his weakness, his frailty towards money, and that he now had to rely on providence to take care of his needs. He had to give up sinful self-reliance and entrust himself to another, that one he had to feel some suspicion of from time to time, that he very likely would have been suspicious of Judas. But in any case, we do see immediately the genuine intention of Levi, his own recognition of the Lamb of God, by throwing a great banquet for the large crowd of tax collectors and others, that Matthew did not want to keep his own joy to himself. The experience of the love of God in Jesus Christ forgiving him and filling him with grace. So that God's love is not for us to keep to ourselves, but to share. And so Levi knew that his partners in crime, his buddies, the tax collectors, that they could find this freedom and happiness too by leaving behind sin and following Jesus wherever he goes. So our Lord, seeing the earnestness of converted tax collectors, he tends to speak to them a lot. That several parables are about money, but one in particular speaks of the tax collector entering into the temple, the most holy place in Judaism, in doing this with humility and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And because of his contrition and faith, his humility, he goes away justified. And in Luke chapter 19, this was Luke chapter 5, so later on we have a story of another famous tax collector convert, that is Zacchaeus. Luke, we can imagine, loved writing this story, imagining vividly Zacchaeus up in a big sycamore tree. And again, we have Jesus walking by and inviting a tax collector to conversion. And a large feast is celebrated with great joy as the people outside murmur. So Jesus is making clear that he came for the sinners, he came for us, saying the Son of Man came to seek and save what is lost. So it's a great question to ask on the opposite side when we see ourselves murmuring, that so often, if not always, it's hardness of heart that we're upset what God is doing. And in this sense, murmuring is a sort of blasphemy because we're telling God what he has to do or what he should have done or what he needs to do now. But God is sovereign, God is free, and God wishes to bring joy to the house of sinners by their conversion, but by filling them with grace and filling them with a life of fruitfulness. So in this way, if we stay in our hardness of heart, we're outside the feast. We're outside the place of joy and miss out on being with Jesus. So it's better to say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and be identified with the tax collector, the lowly, the outcast. So the truth of God is that no one is outside God's mercy. And in fact, our Lord seems to be more interested in the lost and the strayed, and he goes after them with an intense and infinite love. And when these are converted, they are so often the greatest penitents and the most fervent evangelists, bringing Jesus to others. So there's more joy in heaven at the returned, the repentant, than the 99 who supposedly have no need of repentance. So hardness of heart kills joy, it kills conversion, it fills us with the sinful self-reliance that Matthew sloughed off, you know. So the greatest good we have, or the only good we have, is to be with this poor one, to be with Jesus.